Hallelujah. We worship and magnify the Lord on this morning. Hallelujah. Again, our scripture reference for this morning is coming from Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7. And the word of God reads, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Amen. For my topic this morning, I have three simple words for each and every one of us. Stop killing yourself. Stop killing yourself. And if I had to sum up my sermon in one sentence, it would be, in order to live with the freedom Christ has provided, we must avoid the pitfalls of anxiety, learn how to use the tools given to overcome them while accepting the benefits of God's promise. Amen. Again, my sermon in one sentence would be, in order to live with the freedom Christ has provided, we must avoid the pitfalls of anxiety, learn how to use the tools given to overcome them while accepting the benefits of God's promise. Amen. One day, John Wesley was walking with a troubled man who expressed his doubt as to the goodness of God. He said, "I do not know what I shall do with all this worry and trouble." At that same moment, Wesley saw a cow looking over a stone wall. "Do you know," asked Wesley, "why that cow is looking over the wall?" "No," said the man who was worried. Wesley said, "The cow is looking over the wall because she cannot see through the wall." And that, my brothers and sisters, is what you and I must do with our walls of troubles. We must look over it instead of trying to look through it. We must look over it, hallelujah, and learn how to avoid allowing our troubles to cause us to be anxious. On today, again, for the few moments that are before me, I want to talk just simply about how we are able to avoid being anxious. In our text today, we see the Apostle Paul still addressing the church at Philippi while in prison. It was written to show his appreciation and love to the Philippians in a thank you letter for their continued help and support, and also to encourage their growth. In chapter 1, Paul writes about his suffering and that through his imprisonment, the kingdom was increased. In chapter 2, Paul explains the benefits of believers in unity with the mind of Christ. He teaches a theological lesson about the humanity of Jesus Christ as he laid down his glory and became a perfect human man in order to rescue and restore mankind back to a relationship with God. In chapter 3, Paul expounds on the joys of a Christian and encourages the church to press forward with the gospel. He displays his testimony when he said, "I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish so that I may gain Christ." And in chapter 4, Paul again mentions joy in Christ as he encourages believers to rejoice in the Lord. It is here in our text that the Apostle Paul tells us that it is vital for the believer to be well-grounded in God through prayer. In these verses, the Apostle Paul begins by showing us a common issue Christians face, but he also provides the immediate spiritual resolution. What is that common issue? Well, I'm glad y'all asked that on this morning, because it leads me right to my first point. Be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. I think somebody needs to hear that again online. Be anxious for nothing. Paul begins this passage of scripture warning against the futility and danger of worrying and gives a godly alternative that brings additional benefits. Let me say that again. Paul begins this passage of scripture scripture, warning against your futility and danger of worrying, and gives a godly alternative that brings additional benefit. It would seem in today's society, being anxious is something that comes very easy to almost all of us. Given the current climate of our nation and the issues we face daily in our personal lives, disparity, frustration, and lack seem to be running rampant both in the world and in the church. Many face so many trials day in and day out that they just can't seem to handle. Issues with our marriages, issues with our children, issues with our jobs, issues with our health, issues with our within the church, issues with our finances, the presence of COVID-19, issues of police brutality, issues of systemic racism, issues of socioeconomic oppression, issues of overwhelming violence in our community, issues with financial stability, issues with leadership in our country, issues of great pressure seemingly everywhere we turn. Questions and doubts seem to loom everywhere around us. Everywhere we turn, there is some type of issue. And on top of that, these issues are made complex with the fact that we don't seem to see or have the resolution to fix any of these issues, which makes anxiety seem like the proper response. But the fact of the matter is, no matter what is going on around us, anxiety does not have to be our portion. Anxiety does not have to overwhelm us. The Greek word for anxiety in this text is the word meronimo, which denotes an individual attempting to carry the burden of the future by themselves and expressing an unreasonable anxiety or worry, especially about things over which they have no control. I think I need to read that again. The word for anxiety in this text means an individual attempting to carry the burdens of the future by themselves and expressing an unreasonable anxiety or worry, especially about the things over which one has no control. The root word for meromano is the word merizo, meaning to distract, to divide, to draw into different directions. Listen, the Apostle Paul is giving us a command not to worry about the things over which we have no control, because to worry literally means you are allowing the issues of life to strangle the joy out of your life. It means you are allowing yourself to be distracted by the issues of life and literally being pulled into different directions emotionally, mentally, and spiritually. Now, before any of us dismiss Paul and, you know, Paul, you don't understand what I'm going through. You don't understand what the doctor said. You don't understand what's going on in court. You don't understand the lack that I have, the resources that I don't have. You don't understand what's going on in my marriage. Don't tell me not to be worried. You don't understand how it feels like to be able to roam freely across the world and then all of a sudden have everything shut down and you can't go nowhere. Paul, don't tell me not to worry when you don't understand what I've been through. But let's look at the Apostle Paul. Hallelujah. Because Paul didn't write this command from the perspective of one who never experienced hardship. But you got to understand, after his conversion and throughout his life in Christ, the Apostle Paul experienced plenty of hardship. He's been shipwrecked. He's been beaten. He's had death threats against him. He's been in prison several times. As a matter of fact, as he tells the church not to worry, he is in prison himself, facing death. Listen, in the jail, the prison that he was in, it's not like, you know, what we know now. He didn't have a decent bed with toilet and 3 square meals. It was a dirt prison. It was a layer of clay. There were no walls. And honestly, we don't even know how many meals they were given throughout the day. Here Paul is facing certain death, and instead of being overwhelmed or anxious about his life, he is writing to the church of Philippi to help and encourage them, because there was growing divisions in the early church being built, and they were dealing with pressure from Rome. Paul could have easily said, you know what? I have time to deal with this. You have to figure it out on your own. I gave you enough teaching. I led you as much as I could. You have seen the works of Jesus. I don't have time. I'm about to die. But Paul, in his jail cell, writes to them and tells them, do not be worried. Why? Because he understood that there wasn't a thing he could do about where he was or what he was going through. But he trusted in the sovereignty of God and the power he had in Jesus Christ. He knew that whatever he went through, that God would not retract his promises to Paul. Hallelujah. He knew that if he kept pressing towards the mark that Christ set before him, that God would work out the affairs of his life, no matter what the current circumstances of his life seem like. He knew that the assignment set before him and the gift placed in him were to be used for God's glory and had to still be manifested in his life, no matter what. You see, Paul had already made a godly resolve. Hallelujah. He already made a godly resolve before he got to this point that the cares of life would not overpower him. That's how he was able to utter the words in 2 Corinthians 7:16-17. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, hallelujah, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Listen, church, that's why you and I cannot get so caught up in the issues of life that we allow them to strangle our joy out of us. We can't allow the issues to push us to a place of stagnation and complacency where we are not accomplishing the purposes God has given us. But you and I, beloved, if we believe in the God we profess with our mouths, then we must be willing to do the work he has trusted to us while we entrust him with the cares of our lives. The issues of our lives cannot be used as excuses to not fulfill our God-given purposes. Amen? We must do the work while we have time. We must do the work with the ability and the capacity that God has given us. We must remember that we got to cast all our burdens on the Lord and know that he shall sustain us. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. Listen, we can't worry because we have to trust in God that he will care for us, that every promise that he has given to us will be fulfilled, that he will sustain us, that he will deliver us in times of temptation, that he will hold us up in times of attack, that he is securely providing for us. We got to know that we are providentially placed in the master's hands, and the things that we are dealing with, whether we saw it coming or if it blindsided us, nothing blindsides God. He knew everything that we would go through before we got to it, and because he knew, because he loved us, he's already made a way for us. He is our way maker. You know, we sing that song, way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. That's who you are. So you got to really, in order to overcome being anxious, you got to really let those words sink down deep into your soul. When you are going through and you don't seem like you have any direction, you need to remind yourself and your circumstances, God is my way maker. When you get a bad report, when you get that notice, when you get that pink slip, you got to know he is a miracle worker. Hallelujah. You got to know when everything seems to be falling apart in your life, he is the light of darkness. No matter who leaves, no matter what happens, you don't have to be anxious because God is in control. Hallelujah. He is in control. What are you anxious for? When everything belongs to the Lord, and because we belong to the Lord, hallelujah, we got access to everything that we need.
sometimes things are unfolding in our lives because we are not in alignment. Thank you, Holy Spirit. It's not that it's not available. We're just not in alignment. Hallelujah. Sometimes the things that we need are not unfolding in our lives, not because it's not available, but because we are out of alignment. Jesus Christ already gave us access. Hallelujah. And if you are not seeing the fulfillment of God and His will and a manifestation of His purposes in your life, God is not out of alignment. We got to seek God to make sure we are not out of alignment. Hallelujah. We got to make sure that we're trusting and leaning solely on the Lord. Maybe some things ain't happening for us, but we're trusting and leaning in the wrong things. We're trusting and leaning in ourselves. We're trusting and leaning on other people. We're trusting and leaning on the world. We're trusting and leaning on substances. And God is saying, get rid of everything else that you have built up as a foundation and trust in me. You anxious because your trust is this place. Hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And God is saying, I'm drawing you closer to me, because I did not create you to be anxious. I did not give you the capacity to be anxious. God, the word of God says, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love, joy, and a sound mind. Anxiety is the antithesis to a sound mind. So if you have anxiety, you need to ask the Holy Spirit, hallelujah, to manifest the sound mind that God has given you the capacity to walk in. And then you got to learn to denounce every other emotional, fleshy thing that is present in your life. Ask Holy Spirit to reveal to me, what is the source of my anxiety? What is the source of my frustration? What is the source of my anger? Hallelujah. What is the source of this depression? And when He reveals it, ask God to help you to release it so He can restore yourself on. Hallelujah. We got to learn how to accept the revelation, to release what has been revealed, and then walk in the restoration that God has for us. Hallelujah. Don't be anxious. But secondly, we got to understand, hallelujah, there are tools that we got in our arsenal. We have tools in our arsenal to help us not be anxious. What I love about the Apostle Paul is that he never writes an admonishment without also providing a resolve. Paul leaves off this passage of Scripture by commanding us, don't be anxious for anything. Then he immediately leads us into how we combat the issue of anxiety. He says, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. You see, the Apostle Paul admonishes us not to be anxious, and right after that, he, after issuing the command, tells us that we can accomplish victory over anxiety. And he tells us how. In everything. In your temptations, in your trials, in your lack, in your frustration, in your anger, in your disparity, in every situation, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. You see, nothing combats the issues of our lives more than the power we find through our prayers and supplications that are undergirded by thanksgiving. At first glance, one would easily think that prayers automatically include supplication. But in fact, as Paul notates here, they are two separate things. Prayer in this text is the Greek word proseki. It means to bow as well as to give adoration and praise. When we come into God's presence, we ought to come in with adoration and worship in our hearts, in our minds, in our spirits. Why? Simply because of who God is. It is written in this text, Paul is saying believers are to present worries in prayer, going to God with a sense of conscious dependence upon Him to fulfill His responsibility towards us. Listen, God has promised to take care of us. So we are not trying to get God, to assume an obligation that is not already His. That's what we must understand. God has already promised to take care of our needs. So when we go to Him, worshiping Him for that fact that we know He will fulfill His promises in due time, we give God adoration because of who He is. Watch. When we go to God in prayer, we are making a vow, a promise, a commitment, a covenant to worship and adore God despite our circumstances. Hallelujah. Prayers of adoration simply mean we exalt, we esteem, we bless, and we honor the Lord. Hallelujah. We reflect upon His character, His holiness, His goodness, His love, His mercy, His power, His grace, His dominion, His omniscience, His omnipotence. We reverence God for being our keeper, for being our father, for being our sustainer, for being our shelter, for being our strong power. Hallelujah. We give God reverence for loving us so much so that He sent His only begotten Son to die on a rugged cross. We honor God because He loved us so much so that while we were enemies in His presence, He let His Son die so that we could be become so that we can become His beloved children. We honor Him, hallelujah, for who He is. Not only do we go before Him with worship and adoration as our main focus, and I really want us to understand that. We don't just simply go to God to get our needs met, but our main focus ought to be to worship Him for who He is. But how awesome is the God that we serve that He has given us the right to bring our supplications to Him, to bring our needs to Him. Giving God our supplications means after we worship Him, He has given us the ability to earnestly make our requests, our petitions, and our needs known to Him. God, who is so rich in mercy and grace towards us, gives us the opportunity to open our mouths and hearts to Him to acknowledge our needs. And the apostle admonishes, do not pray doubtfully, but thankfully. Hallelujah. Do not pray fearfully, but thankfully. Do not pray with zero expectation. Pray with every expectation that God is going to fill your need. Consider that you and I have your petitions, and therefore thank God for His grace. We come before the Lord with worship as our focus and knowing that we have the ability to lay our needs and problems at His feet, and we do so with thankfulness undergirding us all the way. The expression with thanksgiving is the expression of thanks or gratitude for favor and mercy shown. You see, church, we don't come to God in any old fashion, but we come with a mindset of thanksgiving. We come with a mindset of expectancy that God will not slack on His promises concerning us. We come with thanksgiving, hallelujah, with the fact that He redeemed us from a fallen state. Thanksgiving implies that the grateful person is in perfect submission, hallelujah, to the will of God, however His will manifests in our lives. Why? Because it is only when one is fully convinced that God is working all things together for our good that he or she can really give God full thankfulness. Listen, it is not one single thing that you and I can experience here on this earth that God doesn't have an answer for, hallelujah, either through His word, through direct biblical examples, or through biblical principles. Everything that we need is found in His word, in His will, and by His way. Listen, these tools of prayer, thankfulness, and supplication, they are not only tools to combat anxiety. They are not just ways to get God's attention. Listen, because while they get God's attention, these tools of prayer, supplication, and thankfulness doesn't alert God to the circumstances. Let me say that again. us praying and giving God our supplications and being thankful isn't alerting God to the circumstances that we are in. God already knows what we're going through. God already knows our dilemma. God knows all of the things that are threatening to rob us of our joy. So our acknowledgement through prayer and supplication are not for God's benefit, but it's for ours. God is not unaware of what you are dealing with or facing. So when you come into his presence, you are not alerting him of what's going on. The truth is, you are alerting yourself, hallelujah, and the circumstances that you face to the power of your God. Let me say that again. When you come, when you and I come into the presence of God, we are not alerting God to our problems, but we are reminding ourselves and presenting to our circumstances the power of our God. And the power of our God has greater power over any situation that we go through. Your prayers and our supplication give God permission, hallelujah, to move on our behalf, and it settles in us who he is. Sometimes when we go through different things, we rehearse what we're going through. We rehearse what we feel. We keep speaking what we see instead of speaking what God has said. And when we come into a relationship with God and we settle our hearts and minds on who God is through our prayers and supplications, we remind ourselves that greater is he that is in me than is in this world. We remind ourselves that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We remind ourselves and our circumstances that there is no weapon formed against us that will prosper. We remind ourselves, hallelujah, that God is working all things together for the good of those who love him and who are called into his purpose. We are praying to get his attention. We pray to shift our focus. Hallelujah. We worship to shift our focus. Amen. If I was to ask anybody, whether you are online or in the building, to look at me and then to look at the wall, right? Look back at me and look at a wall, any wall in your house, any wall in the sanctuary. Look at me and then look away. You're going to do it again. Look at me and look away. Now look at me and the wall at the same time. You can't do that, right? You can't look at me and turn your head to the wall. You can't focus on two things at the same time. And that is all Paul was trying to tell us to do. When we worship God, we take our focus off our problems. We take our focus off the situation and circumstances, and we focus on the Lord. You have to know that no matter what you are going through, keep your focus on the Lord. Keep your focus on God our Father. Keep your focus on the one that's sustaining you. Keep your focus on the one that made promises to you. Keep your focus on the one that's going to fulfill every need according to his riches and glory. Keep your focus on him. You can't worship and worry. So you might as well just lift up your hands and worship God, because he is worthy. Hallelujah. Stop killing yourself worrying about stuff you can't change. Hallelujah. Worship the Lord. Worship is a tool. Supplication is a tool. Prayer is a tool that helps us beat and have victory over anxiety and fear. Because you can't be fearful and worship at the same time. Hallelujah. So the apostle is telling us, look, exchange your worship for worry. Exchange your worry for worship. Keep your focus on the Lord. Use the tools. Some of us are defeated because we don't utilize what God has put in our hands to help us. Hallelujah. Again, we rehearse every negative circumstance. We rehearse those people that hurt us. We let our minds run through the course of our lives and the situations and the circumstances that have been detrimental. But God is saying, even in this moment, I want you to begin to rehearse a different script. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I want you to begin to rehearse my goodness. Hallelujah. I want you to begin to rehearse the last time I brought you out. I need you to rehearse every promise that I've given you. I need you to rehearse the scriptures over your life. I need you to speak what I have said, not what you see. God is saying, even in this moment, the anxiety is crippling you because you are giving it permission, because you are focused things, and you don't have clear authority, and you are not able to perform, to fulfill some of the things that I have given you because your focus has been distorted. And then you're saying, if you could just remember to look at me. I know all this stuff is going on around you, but look at me. Look to me. Look up. You keep looking down. You keep looking on around, and God said, lift up your eyes. Hallelujah. Look to the hills from which cometh our help. Lift up your eyes until the Holy of Holies, where God is, and where your healing is, where your deliverance is, where your restoration is, where your joy is. Shift your focus off your problems back to your God. Hallelujah. So we can't be, we got to avoid being anxious. Hallelujah. We got to use tools, hallelujah, that God has given us in prayer and supplication. And then lastly, we have to remember that our tools release a greater promise to us in the midst of our waiting. Hallelujah. While we're waiting on God, when we pray and give supplication to the Lord, there is a release that he gives unto us. The word says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Peace in the Greek is the word irene. Peace is the condition of freedom from disturbance, whether outwardly or inwardly, as in the current context within your soul. Peace implies health, well-being, and prosperity. Peace is the Greek equivalent of the Hebrew word shalom, which signifies a sense of well-being and harmony both within and without, meaning within oneself and the atmosphere around oneself. It means completeness, wholeness, the absence of agitation or discord, a state of calm without anxiety or stress. Let me say that again. Shalom signifies a sense of well-being and harmony both within and without. It is completeness, wholeness, the absence of agitation or discord, a state of calm without anxiety or stress. It is a conscious possession of the divine favor and grace alone that can create and sustain mental tranquility. Listen, when you and I learn how to use the tools of prayer and supplication in our lives, to bring our issues and circumstances under subjection to Christ, we literally allow the manifestation of God's peace in our lives. Remember, peace does not mean the absence of pain or hurt. It means that in our pain or hurt, we have peace because we know the Lord is in control. Peace that supersedes what we see, peace that supersedes what we feel, peace that supersedes what things appear to be. It says in the text, and the peace, meaning the conclusion of the matter is the peace of God, which is greater than anything our finite mind can understand. Now, it's not a conditional release. Thank you, Holy Spirit. It is a promise of relief. He says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, it will guard your heart. Hallelujah. Guarding this text is like a garrison. It, back then, you know, with the Roman soldiers, they, as the guards, they would be called a garrison. So there were multiple guards that completed this garrison that guarded the prisoner. Hallelujah. So what are you saying in this text is there is a garrison of God's peace that surrounds you, and it's unexplainable to our finite mind. But God is saying, when you learn to trust in me, when you learn to lean on me, when you learn to worship me, when you learn to adore me, when you learn to look to me, when you learn give to you. And it's going to guard your hearts and your minds. That's why we don't have to be anxious. Because the peace and the tranquility and the promises of God is like a garrison around our hearts and our minds. And when we pray and when we make supplication, it literally guards us from being able to be overwhelmed. The peace of God guards us, hallelujah, from being able to be overtaken by the wiles of the enemy. The peace of God protects us, and it covers us, and it covers our hearts and minds. But here's the greatest part. We have assurance that the peace of God is unmovable and unchangeable, and it's not faulty because it's not guarding us through our own ways or the world's ways. Watch, it says, through Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. That's how we can have internal peace in the midst of problems and eternal peace with God the Father, simply because Christ died on the cross to give us access to the peace of God. Christ himself is regarded as the Prince of Peace. In our sinful state, we were enemies with God, but God demonstrated his own love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Because of Christ's sacrifice, we are restored to a relationship of peace with God. This is the deep abiding peace between our hearts and our Creator that cannot be taken away. Listen, we can operate and receive peace, hallelujah, because we are now at peace with God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Before the cross, we were enemies. We had no peace with God. We were at war with God because of our sinful nature. But glory be to us. Glory be unto God that when Jesus died on an all-working cross, he brought us back into peaceful relationship with God. So now that we are on God's side, now that we have peace with God, now that we are at peace with God, we can receive the release of God's peace in our lives. Hallelujah. Because we are at peace, and because we are his beloved children, and because we are his disciples, now that we have access back to God the Father through Jesus Christ, we can receive the release of God's peace. And my prayer on today is that somebody under the sound of my voice receives the release of God's peace. God doesn't want you to keep struggling with that anxiety. He doesn't want you to keep struggling with this depression and frustration. He doesn't want you to keep struggling with fear, doubt, and trepidation. God doesn't want you to operate in that. But he wants us to remember, because we are at peace with him, we can receive peace in him. And he has come, Christ has come to give us an abundant life. And anxiety and fear has no place with abundance. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Be at peace. Stop willingly allowing the situation, the circumstances of your life to strangle you to death. Stop committing spiritual suicide by allowing your heart and mind to be divided because of what you are going through. God sees you. He knows what you're going through. He sees your tears. He sees the weight that you're carrying. And God is saying, if you will just trust me and release it to me, hallelujah, I will give you a peace that you won't even understand. When you look at your situations and circumstances and you're no longer moved by them, that's what it means. Peace that surpasses all understanding. The truth is, I should be going crazy. The truth is, I should be angry. The truth is, in my natural, I should be this, that, and the third. But I have the peace and the stillness of God because I understand he is working all things out for my good. I understand that he didn't allow me to go through this for nothing. I understand that all things have a purpose in my life. I understand that God has providentially placed me in his hand and nothing can pluck me out. I don't care what you are going through, how heavy it feels. Nothing has more power than your God. God says, go to bed on tonight. Stop crying and worrying. Stop calling different people. Stop doing all. He said, come to me and know that my peace is ready to be released
in your life. God bless you. I pray that bless you on this morning.